This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents an unabridged recording of The Color Purple by Alice Walker, narrated by the author and directed by Johanna Parker.
Preface. Whatever else The Color Purple has been taken for during the years since its publication, it remains for me the theological work examining the journey from the religious back to the spiritual that I spent much of my adult life, prior to writing it, seeking to avoid. Having recognized myself as a worshiper of nature by the age of 11, because my spirit resolutely wandered out the window to find trees and wind during Sunday sermons, I saw no reason why, once free, I should bother with religious matters at all. I would have thought that a book that begins, "Dear God," would immediately have been identified as a book about the desire to encounter, to hear from, the ultimate ancestor. Perhaps it is a sign of our times that this was infrequently the case, or perhaps it is the pagan transformation of God from patriarchal male supremacist into trees, stars, wind, and everything else that camouflaged for many readers the book's intent. To explore the difficult path of someone who starts out in life already a spiritual captive, but who, through her own courage and the help of others, breaks free into the realization that she, like nature itself, is a radiant expression of the heretofore perceived as quite distant, divine. If it is true that it is what we run from that chases us, then the color purple, this color that is always a surprise but is everywhere in nature, is the book that ran me down while I sat with my back to it in a field. Without the great mystery's word coming from any Sunday sermon or through any human mouth, there I heard and saw it moving in beauty across the grassy hills. No one is exempt from the possibility of a conscious connection to all that is. Not the poor, not the suffering, not the writer sitting in the open field. This is the book in which I was able to express a new spiritual awareness, a rebirth into strong feelings of oneness I realized I had experienced and taken for granted as a child. A chance for me, as well as the main character, Celie, to encounter that which is beyond understanding, but not beyond loving, and to say, I see and hear you clearly, great mystery, now that I expect to see and hear you everywhere I am, which is the right place.
You better not never tell nobody but God. It'd kill your mammy.
Dear God, I am 14 years old. I have always been a good girl. Maybe you can give me a sign, let me know what is happening to me. Last spring, after the Lucius come, I heard them fussing. He was pulling on her arm. She say, "It too soon, Fonzo, I ain't well." Finally, he leave her alone. A week go by, he pulling on her arm again. She said, "No, I ain't gonna. Can't you see I'm already half dead, and all these cheering?" She went to see her sister doctor over Macon. Left me to see after the others. He never had a kind word to say to me. Just say, "You gonna do what your mammy wouldn't." First he put his thing up against my hip and sort of wiggle it around. Then he grab hold my titties. Then he push his thing inside my pussy. When that hurt, I cry. He start to choke me, saying you better shut up and get used to it. But I don't never get used to it. And now I feel sick every time I be the one to cook. My mama, she fuss at me and look at me. She happy 'cause he good to her now, but too sick to last long. Dear God, my mama dead. She die screaming and cussing. She scream at me. She cuss at me. I'm big. I can't move fast enough. By time I get back from the well, the water be warm. By time I get the tray ready, the food be cold. By time I get all the children ready for school, it be dinner time. He don't say nothing. He sat there by the bed, holding her hand and crying, talking about, don't leave me, don't go. She asked me about the first one, whose it is. I say, God's. I don't know no other man or what else to say. When I start to hurt, and then my stomach start moving, and then that little baby come out my pussy chewing on it fist, you could have knocked me over with a feather. Don't nobody come see us. She got sicker and sicker. Finally she asked, where it is? I say, God took it. He took it. He took it while I was sleeping. Killed it out there in the woods. Killed this one too, if he can. Dear God, he act like he can't stand me no more. Say I'm evil and always up to no good. He took my other little baby. A boy this time. But I don't think he killed it. I think he sold it to a man and his wife over Monticello. I got breasts full of milk running down myself. He said, why don't you look decent? Put on something. But what I'm supposed to put on? I don't have nothing. I keep hoping he finds somebody to marry. I see him looking at my little sister. She's scared. But I say, I'll take care of you, with God help. Dear God, he come home with a girl from Round Gray. She be my age, but they married. He be on her all the time. She walk round like she don't know what hit her. I think she thought she love him, but he got so many of us, all needing something. My little sister Nettie has got a boyfriend in the same shape almost as Pa. His wife died. She was killed by her boyfriend coming home from church. He got only 3 children, though. He seen Nettie in church, and now every Sunday evening, here come Mister. I tell Nettie to keep it her books. It'd be more than a notion, taking care of children ain't even yourn. And look what happened to Ma. Dear God, he beat me today 'cause he say I winked at a boy in church. I may have got something in my eye, but I didn't wink. I don't even look at men's. That's the truth. I look at women, though, 'cause I'm not scared of them. Maybe 'cause my mama cussed me, you think I kept mad at her, but I ain't. I felt sorry for mama. Trying to believe his story killed her. Sometime he still be looking at Nettie, but I always get in his light. Now I tell her to marry mister. I don't tell her why. I say, marry him, Nettie, and try to have 1 good year out your life. After that, I know she be big. But me, never again. A girl at church say you get big if you bleed every month. I don't bleed no more. Dear God, Mister finally come right out and asked for Nettie's hand in marriage. But he won't let her go. He says she too young, no experience. Say Mister got too many children already. Plus, what about the scandal his wife caused when somebody kill her? And what about this stuff he hear about Shug Avery? What about that? I asked our new mammy about Shug Avery. What it is, I asked. She don't know, but she says she gonna find out. She do more than that. She get a picture. The first one of a real person I ever seen. She said Mister was taking something out his billfold to show Pa, and it fell out and slid under the table. Shug Avery was a woman, the most beautiful woman I ever saw. She more pretty than my mama. She about 10,000 times more prettier than me. I see her there in furs, her face rouge, her hair like something tail. She grinning with her foot up on somebody's motor car, her eyes serious, though. Sad some. I asked her to give me the picture, and all night long I stare at it. And now when I dream of Shug Avery. She be dressed to kill, whirling and laughing. Dear God, I asked him to take me instead of Nettie while our new mammy's sick.
but he just asks me what I'm talking about. I tell him I can fix myself up for him. I duck into my room and come out wearing horsehair, feathers, and a pair of our new mammy high-heeled shoes. He beat me for dressing trampy, but he'd do it to me anyway. Mister come that evening. I'm in the bed crying. Nettie, she finally see the light of day, clear. Our new mammy, she see it too. She in her room crying. Nettie tend the first one, then the other. She so scared she go outdoors and vomit, but not out front where the two men's is. Mister say, well, sir, I sure hope you done change your mind. He say, no, can't say I is. Mister say, well, you know, my poor little one sure could use a mother. Well, he say real slow, I can't let you have Nettie. She too young. Don't know nothing but what you tell her. Besides, I want her to get some more schooling. Make a school teacher out of her. But I can let you have Celie. She the oldest anyway. She ought to marry first. She ain't fresh, though. But I expect you know that. She spoiled. Twice. But you don't need a fresh woman nohow. I got a fresh one in there myself, and she's sick all the time. He spit over the railing. The children get on her nerve. She not much of a cook, and she big already. Mister, he don't say nothing. I stop crying, I'm so surprised. She ugly, he say, but she ain't no stranger to hard work, and she clean, and God done fixed her. You can do everything just like you want to, and she ain't gonna make you feed it or clothe it. Mister still don't say nothing. I take out the picture of Suge Avery. I look into her eyes. Her eyes say, yeah, it bees that way sometime. Fact is, he say, I got to get rid of her. She too old to be living here at home, and she a bad influence on my other girls. She'd come with her own linen. She can take that cow she raised down there back of the crib. But Nettie, you flat out can't have. Not now, not never. Mister finally speak, clearing his throat. I ain't never really look at that one, he say. Well, next time you come, you can look at her. She ugly. Don't even look like she kin to Nettie. But she'll make the better wife. She ain't smart either, and I'll just be fair. You have to watch her, or she'll give away everything you own. But she can work like a man. Mister say, how old she is? He say, she near 20. And another thing, she tell lies. Dear God, it took him the whole spring, from March to June, to make up his mind to take me. All I thought about was Nettie, how she could come to me if I marry him and he be so love-struck with her, I could figure out a way for us to run away. Us both be hitting Nettie's school books pretty hard, 'cause us know we got to be smart to get away. I know I'm not as pretty or as smart as Nettie, but she say I ain't dumb. The way you know who discover America, Nettie say, is think about cucumbers. That what Columbus sound like. I learned all about Columbus in first grade, but looked like he the first thing I forgot. She said Columbus come here in boats called the Nita, the Pita, and the Santa Marita. Indians so nice to him, he forced a bunch of them back home with him to wait on the Queen. But it hard to think with getting married to Mister hanging over my head. The first time I got big, Pa took me out of school. He never cared that I love it. Nettie stood there at the gate holding tight to my hand. I was all dressed for first day. You too dumb to keep going to school, Pa say. Nettie the clever one in this bunch. But Pa, Nettie say, crying, Celie smart too. Even Miss Beasley says so. Nettie dote on Miss Beasley. Think nobody like her in the world. Pa say, whoever listened to anything Addie Beasley have to say? She run off at the mouth so much no man would have her. That how comes you have to teach school. He never look up from cleaning his gun. Pretty soon a bunch of white men's come walking across the yard. They have guns too. Pa get up and follow him. The rest of the week I vomit and dress wild game. But Nettie never give up. Next thing I know, Miss Beasley at our house trying to talk to Pa. She said long as she been a teacher, she never know nobody want to learn bad as Nettie and me. But when Pa called me out and she see how tight my dress is, she stopped talking and go. Nettie still don't understand. I don't neither. All us notice is I'm all the time sick and fat. I feel bad sometime Nettie done passed me in learning, but look like nothing she say can get in my brain and stay. She tried to tell me something about the ground not being flat. I just say, yeah, like I know it. I never tell her how flat it looked to me. Mister come finally one day looking all drug out. The woman he had helping him done quit. His mammy done said no more. He say, let me see her again. Pa called me. Seely, he say, like it wasn't nothing. Mister want another look at you. I go stand in the door. The sun shine in my eyes. He's still up on his horse. He looked me up and down. Pa rattled his newspaper. Move up. He won't bite, he say. I go closer to the steps, but not too close, cause I'm a little scared of his horse. Turn round, Pa say. I turn round. One of my little brothers come up. I think it was Lucius. He fat and playful, all the time munching on something. He said, what you doing that for? Pa say, your sister thinking about marriage. Didn't mean nothing to him. He pulled my dress tail and asked, can he have some blackberry jam out the safe? I say, yeah. She good with cheering, Pa say, rattling his paper open more. Never heard her say a hard word to nary one of them. Just give them everything they ask for is the only problem. Mister say, that cow still coming? He say, her cow. Dear God, I spend my wedding day running from the oldest boy. He 12. His mama died in his arms and he don't want to hear nothing about no new one. He pick up a rock and laid my head open. The blood run all down between my breasts. His daddy say, don't do that. But that's all he say. He got 4 children instead of 3, 2 boys and 2 girls. The girls' hair ain't been combed since their mammy died. I tell him I'll just have to shave it off, start fresh. He say, bad luck to cut a woman's hair. So after I bandage my head best I can and cook dinner, they have a spring, not a well, and a wood stove look like a truck. I start trying to untangle hair. They only 6 and 8, and they cry. They scream. They accuse me of murder. By 10 o'clock, I'm done. They cry themselves to sleep. But I don't cry. I lay there thinking about Nettie while he on top of me. Wonder if she's safe. And then I think about Sug Avery. I know what he doing to me he done to Sug Avery. And maybe she'd like it. I put my arm around him. Dear God, I was in town sitting on the wagon while Mister was in the dry goods store. I seen my baby girl. I knowed it was her. She looked just like me and my daddy, like more us than us is ourself. She be tagging long behind the lady and they be dressed just alike. They pass the wagon, and I speak. The lady speak pleasant. My little girl, she look up and sort of frown. She fretting over something. She got my eyes, just like they is today. Like everything I seen, and she pondering it. I think she mine. My heart says she mine, but I don't know she mine. If she mine, her name Olivia.
I embroider Olivia in the seat of all her deities. I embroider a lot of little stars and flowers, too. He took the deities when he took her. She was about 2 months old. Now she's about 6. I climb down from the wagon and I follow Olivia and her new mammy into a store. I watch her run her hand alongside the counter, like she ain't interested in nothing. Her ma is buying cloth. She say, "Don't touch nothing." Olivia yawn. "That real pretty," I say, and help her mama drape a piece of cloth close to her face. She smile. "Gonna make me and my girls some new dresses," she say. "Her daddy be so proud." "Who her daddy?" I blurt out. It like at last somebody know. She say, "Mister." But that ain't my daddy name. "Mister," I ask, "who he?" She look like I asked something none of my business. "The Reverend Mister," she say. Then turn her face to the clerk. He say, "Girl, you want that cloth or not? We got other customers size you." She say, "Yes, sir. I want 5 yards, please, sir." He snatched the cloth and thumped down the bolt. He don't measure. When he think he got 5 yards, he tear it off. "That be $1.30, he say. "You need thread?" She said, "No, sir." He say, "You can't sew without thread." He pick up a spool and hold it against the cloth. "That look like it about the right color, don't you think?" She say, "Yes, sir." He start to whistle. Take $2. Give her a quarter back. He look at me. "You want something, gal?" I said, "No, sir." I trail along behind them on the street. I don't have nothing to offer, and I feels poor. She look up and down the street. "He ain't here. He ain't here." She say like she gonna cry. "Who ain't?" I asked. "The Reverend Mister," she say. "He took the wagon." "My husband wagon right here," I say. She clam up. "I thank you kindly," she say. I'll sit looking at all the folks that come to town. I never seen so many even at church. Some be dressed too. Some don't hit on much. Dust get all up the lady's dress. She asked me, "Who is my husband? Now I know all by hers." She laugh a little. I say, "Mister." She says, "Sure enough?" Like she know all about him, just didn't know he was married. "He a fine-looking man," she say. "Not a finer-looking one in the county. White or black," she say. "He do look all right," I say. But I don't think about it while I say it. Most times, men's look pretty much alike to me. "How long you had your little girl?" I ask. "Oh, she be 7, her next birthday." "When that?" I asked. She think back. Then she say, "December?" I think, "November." I say, real easy, "What you call her?" She say, "Oh, we calls her Pauline." My heart knock. Then she frown, "But I calls her Olivia." "Why you call her Olivia if it ain't her name?" I asked. "Well, just look at her," she say, sort of impish, turning to look at the child. "Don't she look like a Olivia to you? Look at her eyes, for God's sake. Somebody old would have eyes like that, so I call her Olivia." She chuckle. "No, Olivia," she say, patting the child's hair. "Well, here come the Reverend Mister," she say. I see a wagon and a great big man in black holding a whip. "We sure do thank you for your hospitality." She laugh again, looking at the horses flicking flies off their rump. "Hospitality," she say. And I get it and laugh. It feel like to split my face. Mister come out the store. Clam up in the wagon. Set down. Say real slow. "What you sitting here laughing like a fool for?" Dear God, Nettie here with us. She run away from home.
She says she hate to leave our stepma, but she had to get out. Maybe find help for the other little ones. The boys be all right, she say. They can stay out his way. When they get big, they gonna fight him. Maybe kill, I say. How is it with you and mister, she asked. But she got eyes. He still like her. In the evening, he come out on the porch in his Sunday best. She be sitting there with me, shelling peas or helping the children with their spelling. Helping me with spelling and everything else she think I need to know. No matter what happen, Nettie steady try to teach me what go on in the world. And she a good teacher, too. It nearly kill me to think she might marry somebody like mister, or wind up in some white lady kitchen. All day she read, she study, she practice her handwriting, and try to get us to think. But most days I feel too tired to think. But Patient, her middle name. Mr. Children all bright, but they mean. They say, Seely, I want this. Seely, I want that. Our mama let us have it. He don't say nothing. They try to get his attention. He hide behind a puff of smoke. Don't let them run over you, Nettie say. You got to let them know who got the upper hand. They got it, I say. But she keep on. You got to fight. You got to fight. But I don't know how to fight. All I know how to do is stay alive. That's a real pretty dress you got on, he say to Nettie. She said, thank you. Them shoes look just right. She said, thank you. Your hair, your skin, your teeths. Every day it's something else to make my ration over. First she smile a little, then she frown, then she don't look no special way at all. She just stick close to me. She tell me, your skin, your hair, your teeths. He try to give her a compliment. She pass it on to me. After a while, I get the feeling pretty cute. Soon he stop. He say one night in bed, well, us done help Nettie all we can. Now she got to go. Where she gonna go? I asked. I don't care, he say. I tell Nettie the next morning. Instead of being mad, she glad to go. Says she hate to leave me is all. Us fall on each other neck when she say that. I sure hate to leave you here with these rotten children, she say, not to mention with mister. It's like seeing you buried, she say. It's worse than that, I think. If I was buried, I wouldn't have to work. But I just say, never mind, never mind. Long as I can spell G-O-D, I got somebody along. But I only got one thing to give her, the name of Reverend Mister. I tell her to ask for his wife, that maybe she would help. She the only woman I ever seen with money. I say, right. She say, what? I say, right. She say, nothing but death can keep me from it. She never write. G-O-D. Two of his sister come to visit. They dress all up. Seely, they say, one thing is for sure. You keep a clean house. It not nice to speak ill of the dead, one say, but the truth never can be ill. Anna Julia was a nasty omen about the house. She never want to be here in the first place, say the other. Where she want to be, I asked. At home, she say. Well, that's no excuse, say the first one. Her name Carrie, other one named Kate. When a woman marries, she's supposed to keep a decent house and a clean family. Why, wasn't nothing to come here in the winter time and all these children have colds, they have flu, they have diarrhea, they have pneumonia, they have worms, they have the chill and fever. They hungry, their hair ain't combed, they too nasty to touch. I touch 'em, said Kate. And cook, she wouldn't cook. She act like she never seen a kitchen. She had never seen his. "Was a scandal," say Carrie. "He sure was," say Kate. "What you mean," say Carrie. "I mean he just brought her here, dropped her, and kept right on running after Shug Avery. That what I mean. Nobody to talk to, nobody to visit. He be gone for days. Then she start having babies, and she young and pretty." "Not so pretty," said Carrie, looking in the looking glass, "just that head of hair. She too black." "Well, brother must like black. Shug Avery, black as my shoe." "Shug Avery, Shug Avery," Carrie say. "I'm sick of her. Somebody says she going around trying to sing. What she got to sing about? Says she wearing dresses all up her leg and headpieces with little balls and tassels hanging down, look like window dressing." My ears perk up when they mention Shug Avery. I feel like I want to talk about her my own self. They hush. "I'm sick of her too," said Kate, letting out her breath. "And you're right about Celia here. Good housekeeper, good with children, good cook. Brother couldn't have done better if he tried." I think about how he tried. This time, Kate come by herself. She may be 25, old maid. She looked younger than me, healthy, eyes bright, tongue sharp. "Buy Celia some clothes," she said to mister. "She need clothes?" he asked. "Well, look at her." He look at me. It like he looking at the earth. "It needs something?" his eyes say. She go with me in the store. I think what color Shug Avery would wear. She like a queen to me, so I say to Kate, "Something purple. Maybe a little red in it, too." But us look and look, and no purple. Plenty red, but she said, "No, he won't want to pay for no red. Too happy looking." We got choice of brown, maroon, or navy blue. I say, "Blue." I can't remember being the first one in my own dress. Now to have one made just for me. I try to tell Kate what it mean. I get hot in the face and stutter. She say, "It's all right, Celia. You deserve more than this." Maybe so, I think. "Harpo," she say, Harpo, the oldest boy, "Harpo, don't let Celia be the one bringing all the water. You a big boy now. Time for you to help out some." "Women work," he say. "What?" she say. "Women work. I'm a man." "You are a trifling nigger," she say. "You get that bucket and bring it back full." He cut his eyes at me, stumble out. I hear mutter something to mister sitting on the porch. Mister called his sister. She stay out on the porch talking a little while. Then she come back in, shaking. "Got to go, Celia," she say. She so mad, tears be flying every which way while she pack. "You got to fight them, Celia," she say. "I can't do it for you. You got to fight them for yourself." I don't say nothing. I think about Nettie, dead. She fight. She run away. What good it do? I don't fight. I stay where I'm told. But I'm alive. Dear God, Harpo asks his daddy why he beat me. Mister say, "'Cause she my wife. Plus, she stubborn. All women good for." He don't finish. He just tuck his chin over the paper like he do. Remind me of Pa. Harpo asked me, "How come you stubborn?" He don't ask, "How come you his wife?" Nobody ask that. I say, "Just born that way, I reckon." He beat me like he beat the children, except he don't never hardly beat them. He say, "Celia, get the belt." The children be outside the room peeking through the cracks. It all I can do not to cry. I make myself wood. I say to myself, "Celia, you a tree." That's how come I know trees fear man. Harpo say, "I love somebody." I say, "Hmm?" He said, a girl. I said, you do? He said, yeah, us plan to marry. Marry, I say, you not old enough to marry. I is, he say, I'm 17. She 15, old enough. What her mama say, I ask. Ain't talk to her mama. What her daddy say? Ain't talk to him neither. Well, what she say? Us ain't never spoke. He duck his head. He ain't so bad looking. Tall and skinny, black like his mama, with great big bug eyes. Where y'all see each other, I ask. I see her in church, he say. She see me outdoors. She like you? I don't know. I wink at her. She act like she scared to look. And where her daddy at while all this going on? Amen, Corner, he say. Dear God, Suge Avery is coming to town. She coming with her orchestra. She coming to sing in the Lucky Star out on Coleman Road. Mister going to hear her. He dress all up in front the glass, look at himself, then undress and dress all over again. He slick back his hair with pomade, then wash it out again. He been spitting on his shoes and hitting it with a quick rag. He tell me, wash this, iron that, look for this, look for that, find this, find that. He groan over holes in his sock. I move round darning and ironing, finding handskers. Anything happening? I asked. What you mean? He say, like he mad. Just trying to get some of the hick farmer off myself. Any other woman be glad. I'm is glad, I say. What you mean? He asks. You looks nice, I say. Any woman be proud. You think so? He say. First time he asked me. I'm so surprised. By time I say yeah, he out on the porch, trying to shave where the light better. I walk round all day with the announcement burning a hole in my pocket. It pink. The trees between the turnoff to our road and the store is lit up with them. He got about 5 dozen in his trunk. Suge Avery standing upside a piano, elbow crook, hand on her hip. She wearing a hat like Indian chiefs. Her mouth open, showing all her teeth, and don't nothing seem to be troubling her mind. Come one, come all, it say. The queen honeybee is back in town. Lord, I wants to go so bad. Not to dance, not to drink, not to play card, not even to hear Suge Avery sing. I'd just be thankful to lay eyes on her. Dear God, Mister be gone all night Saturday, all night Sunday, and most all day Monday. Suge Avery in town for the weekend. He stagger in, throw himself on the bed. He tired, he sad, he weak, he cry. Then he sleep the rest of the day and all night. He wake up while I'm in the field. I've been chopping cotton 3 hours by time he come. Us don't say nothing to each other. But I got a million questions to ask. What's she wear? Is she still the same old Suge like in my picture? How her hair is? What kind lipstick? Wig? She stout? She skinny? She sound well? Tired? Sick? Where you all children at while she's singing all over the place? Do she miss 'em? Questions be running back and forth through my mind. Feel like snakes. I pray for strength. Bite the insides of my jaws. Mister pick up a hoe and start to chop. He chop about 3 chops, then he don't chop again. He drop the hoe in the furrow, turn right back on his heel, walk back to the house, go get him a cool drink of water, get his pipe, sit on the porch, and stare. I follow, 'cause I think he's sick. Then he say, you better get on back to the field. Don't wait for me. Dear God, Harpo no better at fighting his daddy back than me. Every day his daddy get up, sit on the porch, look out at nothing. Sometime look at the trees out front the house. Look at a butterfly if it light on the rail. Drink a little water in the day, a little wine in the evening, but mostly never move. Harpo complained about all the plowing he have to do. His daddy say, "You're gonna do it." Harpo nearly big as his daddy. He's strong in body, but weak in will. He's scared. Me and him out in the field all day. Us sweat, chopping, and plowing. I'm roasted coffee bean color now. He black as the inside of a chimney. His eyes be sad and thoughtful. His face began to look like a woman face. "Why you don't work no more?" he asks his daddy. "No reason for me to," his daddy say. "You here, ain't you?" He say this nasty. Harpo's feeling be hurt. Plus, he still in love. Dear God, Harpo girl daddy say Harpo not good enough for her. Harpo been courting the girl a while. He say he sit in the parlor with her, the daddy sit right there in the corner till everybody feel terrible. Then he go sit on the porch in front the open door where he can hear everything. 9 o'clock come, he bring Harpo his hat. "Why I'm not good enough?" Harpo asked mister. Mister say, "Your mammy." Harpo say, "What wrong with my mammy?" Mister say, "Somebody killed her." Harpo be troubled with nightmares. He see his mama running across the pasture trying to get home. Mister, the man they say, her boyfriend, catch up with her. She got Harpo by the hand. They both running and running. He grab hold of her shoulders, say, "You can't quit me now, you mine." She said, "No, I ain't. My place is with my children." He said, "Whore, you ain't got no place." He shoot her in the stomach. She fall down. The man run. Harpo grab her in his arms, put her head in his lap. He start to call, "Mama, Mama." It wake me up. The other children, too. They cry like their mama just die. Harpo come too, shaking. I light the lamp and stand over him, patting his back. "It not her fault somebody kill her," he say. It not. "No," I say, "it not." Everybody say how good I is to Mr. Chirin. I be good to them, but I don't feel nothing for them. Patting Harpo back, not even like patting a dog. It more like patting another piece of wood. Not a living tree, but a table, a shiver robe. Anyhow, they don't love me neither, no matter how good I is. They don't mind. Except for Harpo, they won't work. The girl's face always to the road. Bub be out all times of night drinking with boys twice his age. They daddy puff on his pipe. Harpo tell me all his love business now. His mind on Sophia Butler day and night. "She pretty," he tell me. "Bright." "Smart?" "No, bright skin." "She smart too, though, I think. Sometime us can get her away from her daddy." I know right then the next thing I hear, she be big. "If she's so smart, how come she big?" I asked. Harpo shrug. "She can't get out the house no other way," he say. "Mister won't let us marry. Say I'm not good enough to come in his parlor. But if she big, I got a right to be with her, good enough or no." "Where y'all gonna stay?" "They got a big place," he say. "When us marry, I'll be just like one of the family." "Hmm," I say. "Mister didn't like you before she big. He ain't gonna like you 'cause she big." Harpo looked trouble. "Talk to mister," I say. "He your daddy. Maybe he got some good advice." "Maybe not," I think. Harpo bring her over to meet his daddy. Mister say he want to have a look at her. I see him coming way off up the road. They be just marching hand in hand like going to war, she in front a little. They come up on the porch. I speak and move some chairs closer to the railing. She sit down and start to fan herself with a handska. It sure is hot, she say. Mister don't say nothing. He just look her up and down. She about 7 or 8 months pregnant, about to bust out her dress. Harpo so black he thinks she bright, but she ain't that bright. Clear, medium brown skin, gleam on it like on good furniture. Hair knotty, but a lot of it, tied up on her head in a mass of plaits. She not quite as tall as Harpo, but much bigger, and strong and ruddy looking, like her mama brought her up on pork. She say, "How you, mister?" He don't answer the question. He say, "Look like you done got yourself in trouble." "No, sir," she say, "I ain't in no trouble. Big, though." She smoothed the wrinkles over her stomach with the flats of her hands. "Who the father?" he asked. She looked surprised. "Harpo," she say. "How he know that?" "He know," she say. "Young women's no good these days," he say. "Got their legs open to every Tom, Dick, and Harry." Harpo look at his daddy like he never seen him before, but he don't say nothing. Mister say, "No need to think I'm gonna let my boy marry you just 'cause you in the family way. He young and limited. Pretty gal like you could put anything over on him." Harpo still don't say nothing. Sophia's face get more ruddy. The skin move back on her forehead, her ears raise. But she laugh. She glance at Harpo sitting there with his head down and his hands between his knees. She say, "What I need to marry Harpo for? He's still living here with you. What food and clothes he get, you buy." He say, "Your daddy done throwed you out. Ready to live in the street, I guess." She said, "No, I ain't living in the street. I'm living with my sister and her husband. They say I can live with them for the rest of my life." She stand up, big, strong, healthy girl, and she say, "Well, nice visiting. I'm going home." Harpo get up to come too. She say, "No, Harpo, you stay here. When you're free, me and the baby be waiting." He sort of hang there between them a while, then he sit down again. I look at her face real quick then, and seem like a shadow go across it. Then she say to me, "Mrs., I thank you for a glass of water before I go, if you don't mind." The bucket on the shelf right there on the porch. I get a clean glass out the safe and dip her up some water. She drink it down almost in one swallow. Then she run her hands over her belly again and she take off. Look like the army changed direction and she heading off to catch up. Harpo never get up from his chair. Him and his daddy sit there and sit there and sit there. They never talk. They never move. Finally, I have supper and go to bed. I get up in the morning, it feel like they still sitting there. But Harpo be in the outhouse. Mister be shaving. Dear God, Harpo went and brought Sophia and the baby home. They got married in Sophia's sister's house. Sister's husband stand up with Harpo. Other sister sneak away from home to stand up with Sophia. Another sister come to hold the baby. Say he cry right through the service. His mama stop everything to nurse him. Finish saying I do with a big old nursing boy in her arms. Harpo fix up the little creek house for him and his family. Mr. Daddy used it for a shed, but it's sound. Got windows now, a porch, back door, plus it cool and green down by the creek.
He asked me to make some curtains, and I make some out of flour sack. It not big, but it homey. Got a bed, a dresser, a looking glass, and some chairs. Cook stove for cooking and heating, too. Harpo daddy give him wages for working now. He say Harpo wasn't working hard like he should. Maybe a little money goose his interest. Harpo told me, Miss Seeley, I'm going on strike. On what? I ain't going to work. And he don't. He come to the field, pull 2 ears of corn, let the birds and weevil eat 200. Those don't make nothing much this year. But now Sophia coming, he always busy. He chop, he hammer, he plow, he sing and whistle. Sophia look half her size, but she still a big, strong girl. Arms got muscle, legs, too. She swing that baby about like it nothing. She got a little pot on her now, and give you the feeling she all there, solid. Like if she sit down on something, it be mash. She tell Harpo, hold the baby, while she come back in the house with me to get some thread. She making some sheets. He take the baby, give it a kiss, chuck it under the chin, grin, look up on the porch at his daddy. Mr. Blow Smoke look down at him and say, yeah, I see now she's going to switch the traces on you. Dear God, Harpo want to know what to do to make Sophia mine. He sit out on the porch with Mister. He say, I tell her one thing, she do another. Never do what I say. Always back talk. To tell the truth, he sound a little proud of this to me. Mister don't say nothing. Blow Smoke. I tell her she can't be all the time going to visit her sister. Us married now, I tell her. Your place is here with the children. She say, I'll take the children with me. I say, your place is with me. She say, you want to come? She keep primping in front of the glass, getting the children ready at the same time. You ever hit her? Mister asked. Harpo looked down at his hands. No, sir, he say low, embarrassed. Well, how you expect to make her mine? Wives is like children. You have to let them know who got the upper hand. Nothing can do that better than a good sound beating. He puff on his pipe. Sophia think too much of herself anyway, he say. She need to be taken down a peg. I like Sophia, but she don't act like me at all. If she talking when Harpo and Mister come in the room, she keep right on. If they ask her where something at, she says she don't know. Keep talking. I think about this when Harpo asks me what he ought to do to her to make her mind. I don't mention how happy he is now. How 3 years pass and he still whistle and sing. I think about how every time I jump when Mister call me, she looks surprised and like she pity me. Beat her, I say. Next time I see Harpo, his face a mess of bruises, his lip cut, one of his eyes shut like a fist, he walks stiff and say his teeth ache. I say, what happened to you, Harpo? He say, oh, me and that mule, she fractious, you know. She went crazy in the field the other day, and by the time I got her to head for home, I was all banged up. Then when I got home, I walked smack dab into the crib door, hit my eye and scratched my chin. Then when that storm come up last night, I shut the window down on my hand. Well, I say, after all that, I don't expect you had a chance to see if you could make Sophia mine. No'm, he say. But he keep trying. Dear God, just when I was about to call out that I was coming in the yard, I hear something crash. It come from inside the house, so I run up on the porch. The two children be making mud pies on the edge of the creek. They don't even look up. I open the door cautious, thinking about robbers and murderers, horse thieves and hants.
but at Harpo and Sophia, they fighting like two men's. Every piece of furniture they got is turned over. Every plate looked like it broke. The looking glass hang crooked, the curtains torn. The bed looked like the stuffing pulled out. They don't notice. They fight. He tried to slap her. What'd he do that for? She reached down and grabbed a piece of stove wood and whack him across the eyes. He punched her in the stomach. She doubled over groaning but come up with both hands locked right under his privates. He rolled on the floor. He grabbed her dress tail and pulled. She stand there in her slip. She never blink her eye. He jump up to put a hammerlock under her chin. She throw him over her back. He fall, bam, up against the stove. I don't know how long this been going on. I don't know when they expect to conclude. I ease on back out, wave to the children by the creek, walk back on up home. Saturday morning early, us hear the wagon. Harpo, Sophia, the two babies, be going off for the weekend to visit Sophia's sister. Dear God, for over a month I have trouble sleeping. I stay up late as I can before Mr. start complaining about the price of kerosene. Then I soak myself in a warm bath with milk and Epsom salts, then sprinkle a little witch hazel on my pillow and curtain out all the moonlight. Sometimes I get a few hours sleep. Then just when it looked like it ought to be getting good, I wakes up. At first I'd get up quick and drink some milk. Then I'd think about counting fence posts. Then I'd think about reading the Bible. What it is, I ask myself. A little voice say, something you done wrong. Somebody's spirit you sin against, maybe. Way late one night, it come to me. Sophia. I sin against Sophia's spirit. I pray she don't find out, but she do. Harpo told. The minute she hear it, she come marching up the path, toting a sack, little cut all blue and red under her eye. She say, just want you to know, I look to you for help. Ain't I been helpful? I ask. She open up her sack. Here your curtains, she say. Here your thread. Here a dollar for letting me use them. They yawn, I say, trying to push them back. I'm glad to help out. Do what I can. You told Harpo to beat me, she said. No, I didn't, I said. Don't lie, she said. I didn't mean it, I said. Then what you say it for, she asked. She's standing there looking me straight in the eye. She looked tired, and her jaw's full of air. I say it 'cause I'm a fool, I say. I say it 'cause I'm jealous of you. I say it 'cause you do what I can't. What that, she say. Fight, I say. She stand there a long time, like what I said took the wind out her jaws. She mad before, sad now. She say, all my life I had to fight. I had to fight my daddy, I had to fight my brothers, I had to fight my cousins and my uncles. A girl child ain't safe in a family of men. But I never thought I'd have to fight in my own house. She let out her breath. I loves Harpo, she say. God knows I do. But I'll kill him dead before I let him beat me. Now, if you want a dead son-in-law, you just keep on advising him like you're doing. She put her hand on her hip. I used to hunt game with a bow and arrow, she say. I stopped the little trembling that started when I saw her coming. I'm so ashamed of myself, I say. And the Lord, he done whipped me a little bit too. The Lord don't like ugly, she say, and he ain't stuck on pretty. This opened the way for our talk to turn another way. I say, you feel sorry for me, don't you? She think a minute. Yes, ma'am. She says slow, I do. I think I know how come, but I ask her anyhow. She say, "To tell the truth, you remind me of my mama." She under my daddy thumb. No, she under my daddy foot. Anything he say goes.